you glad that he did? He took our place. The last one is What a Day That Will Be. This one is out of the hymnal. If you want to see that on the verses, number 762, or you can follow, of course, on the screen. What a day that will be. Good morning. Good to see everyone here today on a beautiful Sunday morning and starting our 9:30 church. I'm glad all of you remembered that. It's wonderful to be here always in the Lord's presence. Just a few announcements to go over, of course, before we go on with our worship service. Oh, you know what? We don't have flowers out. Okay, I just was going to say, we have an arrangement, well, in memory of Linda Bazoog, but it's in the refrigerator. So, I don't know if someone would want to grab that one, maybe. Johnny, you all right doing that? It's a larger one in the fridge there. Thank you. This, in the social hall, there's a table there with books to give away. We've been working on cleaning out some of the storage rooms, and so we find things. So there's books on the table that are giveaway. There are some t-shirts laying on the table there too that are from previous years with the Heidelberg League, the youth group. Just extras. I don't think they've been worn. They don't look like it anyway. So those, if you want a t-shirt, you can just do a free will donation in the box there for that. Okay? For high school age girls, we're going to have a six-week Bible study for you on Leah and Rachel. That is going to start Sunday, July 8th. So talk to Julie Crick about that or my wife, Ann. If you have questions, the time of the evening is still flexible and whether it'll be 6 weeks in a row or how that works. But for high school girls, this is open to the community. So if you have friends from other churches, Invite them to come. It'll be a great deal. The men's community choir will practice this Thursday night at 8 o'clock. This is for our patriotic community worship service in the city park on July 1st. We're going to sing one or two specials that day, and this is as well from the community. So this Thursday at 8, try to remember that, guys, okay? Today after church, we start the adult Sunday school class at approximately 11. Going to be going through the book of Revelation, a DVD-led study by Reverend Adrian Rogers. So this is the time, if you ever said, oh, I wish I understood more of the book of Revelation, here's your chance. Jump in there with it. That's how we learn. I have care center service this afternoon at 2 o'clock. If you'd like to join us there, you're welcome. Then, starting at 4 o'clock down at the gym, there is the benefit for Bob and Carol Harvey. Most of you probably know Bob has had a lot of extreme health situations for several months, been in the hospital a long time, and so this is to try to help them out. That'll be from 4 to 8 o'clock, actually, at the gym. There is a meal with it. I think I saw pork loin. Maybe I read that. But at 7 o'clock, so, you know, you can go there for your supper. Come here at 7 o'clock. We're having this gospel concert by Dennis and Cheryl Perkins. I've heard a lot of wonderful things about them. I'm excited. We are excited to be able to have them here. Don't miss that this evening. All church cleaning starts tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So this, again, takes everybody doing their part as we clean the church sort of from top to bottom, and it looks beautiful. And that's how we keep it looking beautiful. So the listing of that has been in the May and the June Salem Spire. Okay? So your name's in there somewhere. Ladies, men, you can help your wives too, if it works. That is acceptable. And lastly, just a big thank you again for Vacation Bible School. I know we're a week from that, but everyone that helped, we had a wonderful time, and it takes a lot of people to make that happen. So thank you. God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Lord God, you are wonderful, amazing, awesome. You are God Most High. And what a privilege it is for us to gather in this sanctuary once again to worship at your feet, to lift our voices in praising your name, your greatness, and your majesty. You are omnipotent, you are omniscient, you are omnipresent, you are the faithful one, you are our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Healer. And Father, we thank you. The Holy Spirit of God that lives within us as you help us to worship in spirit and in truth. And we ask for that this day. We ask again, Lord God, that you would fill this sanctuary with your glory, your power, and your presence, and move among us as we are here in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our first hymn will be number 12 in the hymnals. Number 12, praise him, praise him. Let's stand together as we sing this, please.
Love for the Good morning.
Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. A couple things I have written down. We continue to pray for Raleigh King. He was transferred back to the hospital in Sioux Falls up to McKinnon from Omaha, where he had been. Things were going very well down there. That's why they transferred him back and then just really took a turn for the worse on Friday, I believe it was. He is on a ventilator now. There's a lot of fluid on his lungs and different things. So be praying for them. Also, for Brittany Clute, this would be Levi's wife, and I didn't find out if she got to come home this week or not. Do you guys know? Not sure. You think? I know it sounded like she was going to. We saw her on Wednesday, but I didn't. So she has this deal going on where the immune system from her spleen is attacking her platelets and destroying them. So it's just a strange thing going on there. So, and continued prayers for Justin Plooster and Emily Guthmiller's sister, Hillary. Didn't get her last name, I don't remember. But she's with child, 31 weeks along, and is in the hospital in Omaha until delivery. They're hoping to keep the little one in until 34 weeks. Hillary is her name. Okay? Any other things here, over here? Yeah.
I have an update on David Barnes in Florida. It's my friend's son. It said that the labs are continuing to improve. They're actually hoping that he can go home on the 30th.
Okay, good. Don's friend Ava in Florida, this is her son. The labs are improving, and hopefully he can go home by the end of the month. Okay, good, thank you. It's good to hear. Anybody else on this side? Okay, Melanie? Okay, Devin Bent's nephew was born on what day was it? May 9th, yeah, oh yeah. Having lots of complications. He's still in the hospital in Sioux Falls as well. Okay. Did I see a hand back there? Okay. Eugene, yes, sir.
We've been blessed with another great-grandchild.
Wonderful.
27.
Wow. Yeah, amen. Eugene and Lorraine, blessed with another great-grandchild. He thinks number 27. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Oh, Hannah. Yeah. Billy Masterson's birthday was this last Monday, June 4th. Happy birthday to you, Billy. Do you have a hand up, dear? You sure?
I do. Tomorrow is Mike's birthday.
Yes, yes.
And last, the 7th was Rachel's birthday.
Yes, yes. This last Thursday was Rachel's birthday. Tomorrow is mine, and I share it with, is Mark here, Ramos? Is Mark here? Well, you're trying to hide out. Yeah, Mark and I share that day, and Tim Serrata too. Yeah, those that I know of anyway. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God Almighty, Father, thank you. You know every need present here. You knew it before we even mentioned, but still you tell us, ask and we shall receive, knock and the door will be open, seek and we will find. And so as we praise you, we do bring these requests to you. Father, thank you for the good news from Dawn's friend Ava, for that her son improving. We thank you for that, Lord. For some of these little ones, Devin Bent's nephew, they're still in the hospital. For Raleigh King, still in the hospital. We lift these little ones up to you, Lord, and ask for your healing touch to their bodies. Give the doctors and nurses wisdom, Lord, as they work with them. Let your healing power flow mightily through them, Lord Jesus. For those with little ones in their wombs, as you're knitting them together, we praise you for that. Thank you for Hillary, Justin and Emily's sister, Lord, that with the bed rest, she's been able to keep the delivery yet a week more, and we pray for a couple more weeks as you do your work, Father, within the womb. Truly, it is amazing, and we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for Brittany Clute. We trust that she's improving. I know they changed the medicines, and we thank you for the help from the natural side. But more than that, as always, we know your power is far greater than all, Jesus, as the great physician, and we trust you in that. Lord, for those in our midst battling the cancer, we pray, we lift them up, Larry Kirschman and Lonnie Schultz and Belva Heckenleibel and Ann Herbold. We lift them up, and Lord, the many others listed in the bulletin, thank you for giving them strength day by day, Lord, for your joy is their strength. We thank you as we lift up Leroy Friesen, as he's at home and just regaining strength little by little, that you keep him safe and give Donna the strength as she is his caregiver. Lord, I pray for Milo Hauk. We lift him up. And Lord, for the procedure that he had this week and didn't go quite as we had hoped, but I thank you he's here today. We pray for strength, healing, Lord, to his heart, to his lungs. Father, we ask for your blessing there in Jesus' name. Lord, for the little showers of rain, we thank you. Lord, for those that are still have some fields that they need to get planted as the time is winding down, Lord, help the equipment to run properly as it's supposed to. Let things go smoothly, that they can get the seed in the ground, Lord. For the whole earth, Lord, we pray. Things are seem to be in upheaval. Volcanoes in Hawaii and Guatemala erupting. Lord, we know you are sovereign over all. And we look forward anxiously to your second coming. Lord, for the summit this week, tomorrow, over there in Singapore, we lift that up to you. We ask for your will to be done. Lord, if it could be so, to bring North Korea out of the oppression they've been in. Give our leaders wisdom in all of that, Father. For our troops, we continue to pray the blood of Jesus over them. Tyler Brandt overseas, Travis Gramco overseas, Marilee's grandchildren, some of them here and there serving, and many more, Lord God, we pray over them and ask for your protection. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to read from Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 before we receive our offering this morning. It tells us this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And it is through him, through Christ alone. Let's receive our tithe and offering this morning. We do praise you and worship and magnify you. Lord, as those words were played to that song, as it says, Word of God, speak. Would you pour out, fall down like rain. That you'd open our hearts, change us, work in us, Lord. We are yours, we're not our own. All that we have is yours. As we give back to you these tithes, these offerings, the first fruits of all of our increase. Lord, it's a joy to be able to bring our gifts and drop them in these plates, sowing them as seed into your kingdom. Just like we're in the springtime, putting that seed in the ground, it is a joy naturally, and it is a joy all the more spiritually. And we thank you for the harvest of life in Christ alone. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our place. While we were yet sinners, you went to that cross. You took the wrath of God upon yourself for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. The children will come, please. And thank you, Cheryl, for that offertory. It's beautiful.
The kids are going to sit over here in these first two pews today, right over here. Anne has something to show you on the screen, I believe. So, yep, you can sit right there today.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are you all today? Good. Well, I'm having you sit here, right in there. Come on. How about sit right in there? Because we're going to show a little video here in just a minute. All right. Come on. Go ahead. You can sit in the second row or the first row. Here you go. There you go. Well, today we're having Holy Communion. And do you know what the bread stands for up there? It's in that... The one on the right is the bread, the silver with the cross. What does that stand for?
His body.
Whose body?
Jesus.
Jesus's body that was broken for us, right? And what about the juice or the wine?
It's Jesus's blood.
It's Jesus's blood, and that was poured out for us to cover our sins, right? And this all started, who remembers when this started? When was the very first time that Jesus did this? Before he did, right? The Last Supper, and that's what we're going to see. All right, on this video here, let's see how it works.
God's story, Jesus' Last Supper. So part of God's story is about the night before Jesus died, and it begins like this. Jesus knew he was going to go back to heaven soon, but he hadn't finished teaching his friends everything they needed to know. So he planned a special supper with 12 of his closest friends, called his disciples. A disciple means a Jesus follower. Anybody who follows Jesus gets to be his disciple and his friend, including you and me. So Jesus was sitting around the dinner table with his friends eating supper. We call it the Last Supper because it was the last meal they ate together before Jesus died on the cross. During the meal, Jesus suddenly left, got a big bucket of water and a towel, knelt down on the floor, and started washing the disciples' feet. That was awfully nice of Jesus because back then, people walked around on muddy roads without wearing shoes or sandals. They probably stepped in a lot of dirt and camel poop. And now here was Jesus kneeling right next to their dirty, sweaty, stinky, poop-caked feet. It might sound like Jesus really hated dirty feet, but even though dirty feet can be pretty gross, especially if you've just stepped in camel poop, Jesus was actually teaching his disciples how to act like him. See, Jesus came to earth so that he could serve other people, even if that meant helping them with things like scrubbing their stinky feet, because Jesus thinks helping people is the coolest. And after Jesus leaves, it's up to his disciples to show people how Jesus would act if he were still on earth. Do you think you could show somebody how to act like Jesus? Well, after that, Jesus had some more to teach his friends. Hopefully he washed his hands since he touched all those feet, but we don't know for sure. Anyway, Jesus knew the disciples might have a hard time always acting like him. So Jesus told them he was going to send a special helper called the Holy Spirit to show his friends how to act like him. And the Holy Spirit still helps Jesus' friends today. Well, after the exciting news about the Holy Spirit coming to help everyone, Jesus started teaching his friends how to stay close to him too, even when he's in heaven. We can stay close to Jesus by talking.
Gives us a lot of information, doesn't it? Yeah, so did you see that? It said Jesus, that's where he instituted the Lord's Supper. And he told us that any of his disciples are who follow Jesus, right? And who believe in him. And he wants us to be a servant. So he keeps on telling us, now you do this, it says in Luke, and to remember me. We have the communion, we celebrate it to remember what Jesus did for us. And not only that, we have to remember that we are his disciples. And we have to go tell others about him, right? And we go and serve others. And we love them. And we do that through the help of who lives on the inside of us?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, right? He is our helper. Okay, so when you see your parents taking these emblems later, you remember, you know what it means, right? And we know as boys and girls what Jesus wants us to do, to go and share his love, okay? Can we pray now? Let's pray, ready? Father, we just thank you so much that you give us all means of videos, and of course your word is number one, but Lord, you help us to understand this world and our job in this world. And we thank you so much for sending your son Jesus for us. He is the reason. He is the reason we are here today, Father, for the blood that was shed for us and his body broken for us. Help us as even children to understand how much you love us and how much you've done for us. And help us to remember, too, that we have a job to do, no matter how young or how old, to share your love, to be servants of those. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go right over.
Okay, thank you, Ann. We're going to read from the book of James again today. We're working through this, the letter of James, the epistle of James, we could call it, once the children get back to their seat. Just for your information, maybe you know this, but as we go through a book like this, verse by verse, we call that expository preaching. Expository, you just take it, break it down, and work through it piece by piece. See what God is saying in there. Otherwise, we have topical preaching, which is maybe just on a certain subject. So there's various types. We're doing expository, looking through this. It's important to do that. Be like at home, you know, if you really dig into the scriptures and you don't just read over it and say, oh, I did today's reading, you know, and think no more about it. We miss so much that way. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word does speak to our hearts, to our minds. The entrance of your word gives light. Your word, Father, is not bound or hindered, but it goes forth freely, freely to us as we're gathered here. Lord, and as James said in the end of this letter, let us not be just merely hearers of your word, but doers of it. And Father, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to be obedient to your word. So open the eyes of our hearts, our minds this morning. Help us to focus in on what you have for us today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Amen. Maybe you'd like to work on memorizing those 12 verses. It's going to be a few more Sundays we're reading them, you know. Okay, James. So here we go. We're working through this. In this epistle, one of the main things he's trying to show the believers is what is the difference between living faith and dead faith. True saving faith versus a non-saving faith. What is true saving faith, a living faith, supposed to look like? He's going through this. The first part is trials. So we know this James, this is the half-brother of Jesus, who God used to write this letter. That first verse, just real quick, it's important that James starts out this way. He says about himself, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, just because he was the half-brother of Jesus didn't mean he had an automatic ticket to heaven when he died. He had to come to the cross. He had to believe Jesus was who he said he was and is who he said he says he is, just like we do. And you know what? He and his siblings did not believe that growing up in the home. We looked at that. It wasn't till the cross, actually the resurrection. For James, we know that Jesus appeared to him personally. And James believed and received him as, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he goes. He goes on. See, trials, how we handle trials and troubles is an indication of our faith in Christ. Do we just, and I don't see anybody here in this, but I have seen people over my years, probably you have too, people who've gone through trials and they just totally turn away from the Lord. Thinking what? I don't know. Thinking God's just a big sugar daddy? That I ought to have everything I ask for how I want it to be? That's not how it works. Trials of life should draw us ever closer to him, stronger in prayer, stronger digging into the word, stronger in fellowship with other believers as we're seeking him for strength through that time of trials. Job, I mentioned last time, he lost it all, didn't he? Remember, there's a point in chapter 2, verse 9, his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Basically, are you still trusting in God? After all that's happened to you, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. So, we go into this. How do we persevere then? That's this first section. 5 points. We'll just go through the second one today. The first one, 2 weeks ago, we got to keep a joyous attitude. Oh, that's not always easy, is it? No, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. New Living says, let it be an opportunity for joy. And that's how we have to train ourselves to think that way. Because for 99% of us anyway, it's not a normal response. It's more like, oh, Lord, again, I can't take it. Why me? Why us? Why my family? We have it worse than anybody else I know, you know, and we can get into that mode. And that's not the mode God wants us to be in. No, he said, let it be an opportunity for joy. Let it be, husband and wife, a discussion amongst yourselves. When one is way down, the other can say gently, don't hammer the other person, you know. Come on, get out of the dumps. Didn't you hear Pastor Mike? Let it be an opportunity for joy. What's the matter with you? That's at least I don't like it when someone comes at me that way. If you do, then okay, then do it. You know each other better than anybody else. But let it be, okay, how are we going to look at this from God's perspective as an opportunity for joy? And so you work through it that way. And this, the farmers, you've had ample opportunity since you started calving, planting, to walk through great trials, trying to do it with joy, right? All right, let's get to the point today. An understanding mind. Second point, how do we go through these trials? Got to have an understanding mind. Verse 2 and 3 again. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, my sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, here it is, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Got to get that settled in our minds. Okay, what I'm going through right now is probably not any fun, but I'm going to do it with joy. And joy is different than happiness. We talked about that last week. Happiness, if things are going great, woo, yes, we're happy. If things are not going great, we end up in the dumps. Joy is not that way. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, that deep-seated sense of well-being within your spirit, that come what may, God is on the throne. He is faithful. That's joy. The joy of the Lord. And it can be a bubbling, and it should be, and there's times we got to stir it up within because it's there. It is. Put on the garment of praise, we sing for the spirit of heaviness. Sing that song. Knowing this, he said, King James says, knowing this, NIV says, because you know. That word, you see it in the Greek there, is knowledge that comes from personal experience. Walking through it, walking through these, that's that kind of knowledge, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Okay, for that knowledge, there's different kinds. I have the other one in there for you, which is epinosis, okay? That is revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, all right? That's different. That's when we're looking into God's Word, we're reading it, we're studying it, all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. I never understood that passage before, Lord. Oh, that's so cool. That's what we pray to the Holy Spirit when we read God's Word. Lord, show me wondrous things from your Word. Open the eyes of my understanding to your Word. That's the revelation knowledge that comes from God's Spirit, which is wonderful. All right, Ephesians 1:17, I have that reference. That's an example of a verse in a prayer. When Paul said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here it is, that you may know him better. That's the revelation knowledge. But this is because you know, that's knowledge from personal experience, okay? Here it was, I didn't ask if I could use Johnny here, Johnny's grandson, Edward, as an example. This was just before VBS or so, I think, and I was over there talking to him. They had sort of a fire going, and we were doing stuff over by the shed talking, and little Edward, he's what, 3 or 4? 4. I was just seeing him over the corner of my eye, and he was over by near the fire pit, and there's this metal grate on there, and then sort of a handle, I guess, sticking out from it. And all of a sudden, he decides he's going to touch that handle. Whoa, whoa! He jerked his hand off that in a second and makes his way over, and pretty soon the tears start coming. That is knowledge that little Edward gained from personal experience about fire, metal close to a fire. He will probably not forget that, right? Or any of us that put our hand on a stove or something like that. So he's saying this to us. When you are walking through the trials of life, and there are a lot of them going on right now, just within our small congregation, lots of stuff, big stuff, serious stuff. You got to know that your faith, keeping your eyes on Jesus, by God working through the situation, He is developing and producing something very beneficial in your life. And that is perseverance. Perseverance. And we have to have that. If everything just went perfect, then where would the faith be, right? The trials come. So we endure it with joy. In this, Jesus, he endured the cross with joy because why? Because he knew what the outcome was going to be. You say, oh yeah, he's Jesus. He knew everything. Yes, right. He did. He does. He's perfect. But first example there is Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. What's it say? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, Jesus, for the joy, there it is, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider him. In other words, think about him. It's what we're doing here after a bit when we have the Lord's Supper. Consider him who endured. Endurance is the same as perseverance, right? Who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Perseverance. Here's a couple definitions. Sorry, I didn't get those blanks in there, I don't think, for you. Endurance is cheerful constancy and endurance, same word, okay? It is patient continuance or waiting. It is, listen, I like this one the best, I think, the staying power in a difficult situation or trial. The staying power in a difficult situation or trial. Perseverance. You come through the other end and your faith is stronger than it was before you went in. What about another example? We can think of David, King David, the trials that he had and went through. We have big pictures of his life through the Psalms, through Kings, the writings of Kings and Chronicles. Psalm 40, what does he say? I waited patiently for the Lord. And he had big struggles, right? It's not always easy to say that about ourselves. Can we say it in the midst of trials? I'm waiting patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. The only thing, we don't know how far between that first statement and the second statement, he turned to me and heard my cry, how much time took place between those two. Sometimes it can be just a week or two. Sometimes it can be a year. Sometimes it can be years. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of that slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. What? They'll see how we endure through trials, right? What are you waiting on the Lord for right now? Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a home or housing situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a healing or a health situation. Maybe it's a family restoration that needs to take place. And on and on. That's part endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Third, Moses. Moses. Hebrews 11. Listen, he lived in the light. This isn't the verse yet. He lived in the light of what the endurance or perseverance would bring in the future. He had a promise from God that God was going to use him as a deliverer, right? Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to endure the pleasures of sin for a short time. Oh yeah, sin might seem fun for a short time, but payday's coming. Payday is coming. If we sow to the flesh, is that Galatians where that is? Romans? If we sow to the flesh, from the flesh we are going to reap corruption, destruction. If we sow to the Spirit, it's what we're doing right now, sowing our lives to the Spirit of God just by being here, listening to His Word, then we reap life everlasting. Going back to this, okay? He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt, and they were the powerhouse on the planet then. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Here it is. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Don't you love that part of that verse? He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Amen. That's beautiful. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Did he get to go into the promised land? No, he didn't. But God let him climb up there on Mount Nebo. We were there. We got to climb Mount Nebo too. And it absolutely, of course, as God's word said, you can see all of Israel. I was just reading again this week a little. We didn't get to see Jerusalem the day we were up there. It was rather hazy. But what I read on one of the websites did say, on a clear day, you can see Jerusalem from the top of Mount Nebo. Isn't that neat? He persevered. Boy, perseverance. Yeah, that's how God develops it. The Holy Spirit working in us. Parents, we all know, if you've raised your kids, if you're raising your kids, we have a big part in teaching those lessons of perseverance. When they want to quit on this and that and the other thing, and they think you're mean for not letting them quit, you are developing perseverance in their lives. Funny, I can think of really only one example that my parents, more so our dad, let us quit on a job in the middle of it all. And I only one time, many other times we wanted to in situations, nope. And it was, we were probably in like eighth grade, I'm guessing, down at Arlington, Nebraska. One of our school teachers, her husband was a farmer, like many here, and he had this, and that day, I don't know, was it a radio tower or what, some kind of tower going up. Wasn't a power one, but it had all the guide wires, you know, coming down, how they hold that thing in place. And in the midst of that, which had to be nearly as large as this platform in a big circle, was a gigantic, this was in the summer, gigantic patch of thistles. The big, are those the, I was musk thistles with the big purple head on top that get as tall as me? Yeah. Solid. And he hired us to chop all those down with a corn knife on this day. And it happened to be our birthday. It's funny how you remember those things, isn't it? And we were out there early in the morning, Mark and I, going at it, bumblebees all over the place. We just, you know, at least you sort of know if they're coming because they're loud. Chopping, complaining all morning long. How are we going to get out of this? We are not doing this the rest of the day. It's our birthday. Wah, wah, wah. We shouldn't have to. And poor us. And we go home for lunch. that day, and we laid it on thick. I mean, so thick, I guess my dad gave him that day. I said he never did otherwise, and we didn't go back to finish either. But that was the one time. Perseverance, though, many times, so kids, sorry, but your parents are doing you a favor when they're taking you out there to do those things that you don't want to do. It is for your good. And we got to have that understanding mind as adults and young people as we go through these trials. God's working. He's developing that piece of character in us. And it is hugely beneficial. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. Know it. Settle it in your heart, in your mind. And that helps us to go through those times with joy. All right. Next week, it's a submissive will. That's your third blank. We'll start on that next week. Because the fourth verse says, perseverance must finish its work. King James says, let patience, let endurance have its perfect work. Okay, we got to submit to it then. Let's pray. Lord Jesus. Father, this is all a work in progress, you know, in each of our lives. Forgive us, forgive me for the many times when I'm not counting it all joy, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive all of us. Lord, we're learning. And help us to know what you're telling us in your word, by your spirit. Thank you for being patient with us each and every day of our lives. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If the consistory would go to the back and prepare there for the Lord's Supper, please. The rest, if we'll take out our bulletins, there is a prayer of confession there. We know that God's word tells us that before we come to the Lord's table, we are to examine ourselves. Look at our hearts. Look at our lives. Number one, above all, it means, am I saved? Do I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? That's number one. After that, then, it is examining ourselves, each individually, not my neighbor, not, oh, boy, I sure hope so-and-so's thinking about what he did, or, no, you, right here, me, my heart, confessing my sin before the Lord. Let's pray this prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with praise. As we come before the table that you have prepared for us this morning, may your name be honored and revered among us as your children. As we humble ourselves before you, we also must examine ourselves in the light of your word. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have forsaken you, our first love. Forgive us, Lord, for not obeying your word, and for letting other things in life come first ahead of you. As we confess our sins, we also repent before you. Thank you for washing us and cleansing us with the blood of Christ. Thank you for giving us strength to live for Christ and to stand strong against the temptations of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Sister, would come, please. We do have open communion here this morning. If there's any visiting, not really that there are, but you're welcome to partake with us. When we come to the wine, just a reminder, the innermost ring is grape juice. The other rings contain the wine in that drink. Let's pray once more, please. Heavenly Father, we do humble ourselves before you and under your mighty hand as we come to this table. Lord, we only have really a glimpse of what it cost for us to be here at your table this morning. Give us a greater understanding. Lord, help us to realize the seriousness of it, but also the joy The joy that you saw, Lord, as you saw us here gathered today as your children, we praise you for that. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for the wine and the juice. These elements, let them be sanctified for this time and this purpose as they represent your body and your blood. And Lord, as we partake, let it be bring spiritual nourishment to each of our beings. Let it bring healing to our beings, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, if you hold the bread, we'll partake of it together when that time comes. Thank you. If you'd like to sing along, number 308, you may. There is a Redeemer. The Apostle Paul said, by the Spirit of God, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Lord, I think of the time when you said to that Syrophoenician woman who came for healing for her child, she only wanted a crumb. You said, healing is the children's bread. Lord, thank you for ministering your power, healing here spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever might be needed. And as we look to you, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross in our place, for taking those stripes upon your back, for taking our sin upon yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said earlier, the innermost ring contains the grape juice. The other rings contain the wine. Okay, thank you. 336, there is a fountain filled with blood.
Yeah.
took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take the cup together, please. Thank you, Father, for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, because you are risen, we live. Because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone, and we rejoice in that, and in your goodness, and in your cleansing blood that truly does wash all our sins away. Thank you, Father, for your great plan of redemption fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Consistory, for helping. You all look very nice today. God bless you. Our last hymn will be 366. I live because he has risen. Let's stand, please. Keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Remember tonight, 7 o'clock, the Ambassadors of Grace. This afternoon, the benefit for Bob and Carol Harvey. Sunday school in a little bit. Ha ha.